Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2023. And what a great way to begin it, right? To be here with God's people, worshiping the Lord, seeking His face, and partaking of the Lord's table. Let's begin our time of worship by standing and turning to hymn number 193 and sing God is So Good. Hymn 193. Bow for prayer. Father, we praise You for this new year that we're just beginning to get today. We praise You that we can be together worshiping Your name, focusing our eyes on You. Thank You that You guide us each day, each year, and You're leading us home. We're on our way to heaven. We pray that You would bless this hour as we worship and fellowship together, hear Your word proclaimed. Bless Pastor as he brings the message. We pray that our hearts will be fertile soil to receive it. We praise You that we can partake of the Lord's table today. What an awesome way to begin the year. And we pray that as we do so, You will be honored, glorified, pleased with what You hear and see, and that it will inspire us and prepare us as we begin this new year together. We commit this time to You and give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Matthew chapter 2. We're finishing up the holiday season with the wise men. I was debating exactly what to bring, but I thought, well, we'll stick with the wise men for a little bit longer. Oh, come, let us adore Him. That's what we're looking at here. We want to worship the Lord. Today we have communion, and we want to worship the Lord for all that He is to us. But right now, let's read Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. All right. We're going to have a word of prayer. I would like for you to remember a special request. My brother-in-law, Charles Flock, had a fall and injured his neck somehow. So he's been in the hospital now and has to recover from all of that. But they think that he will eventually recover. So that was good. We were concerned about that. I mean, he's in his 80s. And so if you could just remember to pray for Charles, excuse me, we would appreciate that. And I'm sure there are others, too, that you're thinking about that are in need. So let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just thank you so very much for all your grace and love to us. Lord, as we've just finished this past year, it's been kind of a strange time. As we think of all that's gone on with all the disease and the turmoil and strife that's going on around the world, it seems. And we just prayed, Father, that this new year might be better. Lord, we don't know exactly how to face all these things, but we thank you that we can face them with you, that you are always with us. You've promised you would never leave us nor forsake us, and we can bank on that. So, Lord, we praise your holy name that you are with us this morning and that you will always be with us. We do pray, our Father, for any who may not have that full assurance of their salvation or may not be sure where they stand in your sight. We pray that you'll help them to understand and to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We do thank you, Lord, for this new year, and we look forward to whatever it holds, and may we keep our faith strong in you, dear Lord. I do want to pray for Charles Flock today, that you will give him complete healing. We just thank you for him and his Christian life and the family there. We ask your blessings upon them. And Lord, I know there's many others that are going through similar circumstances, and we pray that you'll undertake for them. You know each one of us and the things that are upon our hearts, and we pray that you will hear and answer our prayers and give us the assurance of your goodness and grace to us. Thank you so much. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we will be celebrating the communion this morning and rejoicing that he went to the cross of Calvary and died in our place that we might have everlasting life. And we thank you, Lord, that you still live today and that you always will be. And we just rejoice in all of your goodness to us. Lead us now and guide and help us in all that we do today that will be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's turn once again to Matthew chapter 2. Well, just as we saw the poor shepherds come to the manger to worship Christ, so a little later the wealthy wise men came to worship him also. We don't know very much about these people. We sing about the we three kings of Orient are. We have no idea how many there might have been or exactly where they came from. Oh, there you go. I thought I was doing pretty well this morning, but here we go. You expect me to do something, don't you? I know. So, we see it doesn't matter what our status in life is. That's what I wanted to point out. These shepherds out there in the field, these were very poor people. They had to work hard for a living. And here we come, these wise men coming from a far country, very wealthy, had everything that they could possibly need materially. But they all needed the same thing, didn't they? Spiritually speaking, they needed the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And so we find here these men coming. The angels appeared to the shepherds, right? And told them the glad story of how that Jesus had come, the King of the Jews. And they went to Bethlehem to see what was happening there. And they went away rejoicing, right? Remember? Telling everyone as they went back to their sheep of what had happened. Now, it doesn't tell us what came of that. We don't know if anyone else went or not. But, you know, it just reminds me of our position in life. Our job is to tell others about Jesus, isn't it? It should be. And we need to get the word out, and it's up to them what they do with it, right? You know, you always you get somebody upon your heart and you want to help them. You want to show them the truth of the gospel. You want to see them saved. And yet, you can't make them do it. Right? It's an individual decision that each one has to make. So here we find these wise men from the east coming. And they were following the star. Remember the star, that wonderful star that God made for this particular purpose, apparently. People try to explain, well, where, what kind of star was this? Where did it come from? Was it a planet? Or, you know, all that kind of stuff. But we don't really know. So they were following the star as they were astrologers, apparently, those who studied the stars. And so God gave them a message that they would understand. Okay? And it's wonderful to think about that. God reveals to us what we need to know in the way that we could understand it best. He speaks in different ways to different ones. And especially, he speaks to us through his word, right? We have the word of God. That he has given to us that we might understand what we need to know. And of course, we all need to know our situation, where we stand in this world, and the need that we have to put our faith and trust in Christ and to come to know him in a personal way. So these wise men, they were called the Magi, and highly educated men. He dedicated themselves to studying the stars. As far as we know, they were not kings. You know, it says we three kings of Orient are. You know, I always like to, I mentioned this one other time, one other year. I like that song. And you can make it true, I think, by just changing two words. Instead of saying we three kings, you say we wise men. And if you go through the rest of the song, it's perfectly biblical as far as I can remember. At any rate, they were not kings, but they did advise the rulers of the nation where they lived. These were an organized group of people that studied the stars and somehow thought that they could help people understand what was going on in their countries. So they came from the east. Well, east of Israel, you'd have to look on a map to see, but they think it's probably Babylon or Persia. Those are the prominent ones that we find throughout the scriptures, at least, where these wise men would come from. It was a long trip, and they must have taken at least several months, if not even longer, to get there. But they were determined to see and worship the newborn king. Now, he wasn't newborn when they got there, but I guess they must have started out about the time he was born, and then it took quite a few months to get there. And so it says, we have seen his star in the east. This was an indication that God had given to them that Jesus had been born. His star. This was the star. And how did they know about the star? Well, studying the heavens, they saw something unusual, no doubt. And also through reading the Jewish scriptures. You remember Daniel, of course. He was one of the Jewish young men that was taken to Babylon and then stayed there the rest of his life. And he was active as the leader of the wise men. If you read over in Daniel, the king made him the ruler. And you remember the story? The others were jealous of him, right? And where did he end up? In the lion's den, right? Poor Daniel. He thought he was. They thought he was finished. But God protected him. See, his prophet. This God kept him from from being eaten by the lions. And then the other guys who were jealous of him, you remember? What happened to them? After the king went back and said, oh, Daniel, did your God protect you during the night? Daniel says, oh, king, live forever. He was there, right? So they took all those that had plotted against Daniel, and what happened to them? They put them in the lion's den, and the lions were very hungry by that time. And it was all over very quickly. Wow. You know, it's just marvelous to think what God can do. You know, we sang, God is so good. He is. He is so good. But at the same time, he is righteous and holy. And he knows how to handle each and every situation that comes, right? And we can put ourselves in his hands and know that he's always there. And just if we live righteously in his sight as best we can, I know we fail. But our heart is right with him, if our attitude is right with him, he will continue to help us and guide us, just like he did with Daniel. And anyway, and then there was the other scripture, remember, the prophet Balaam. Now, Balaam is one of the strangest characters in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. Who was he, and what was he, you know? Was he a prophet of God, or was he not? You know, God spoke to him. And yet, he was money hungry, right? He tried everything he could possibly do to get the money that the king was offering him to give a curse to Israel. Israel was coming through. Oh, my goodness. I have to watch that. It hurt my finger. Anyway, we find in Numbers 24:17, it says, this is Balaam's prophecy. I shall see him, but not nigh, not near. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. So here, this is a prophecy that Balaam gave that apparently refers to this star that the wise men saw, and the scepter speaks of the king coming out of Israel. So it sounds like a prophecy that would be forecasting the birth of Jesus. Tens of thousands of Jews lived in Babylon during the exile. Among them, Daniel, the prophet, who interpreted dreams for Nebuchadnezzar. He was appointed leader over all the wise men of Babylon. I just said that. No doubt he taught them a great deal about the hope of Israel and the coming king. At any rate, the Magi understood that the star appearing indicated the birth of the king. So they made their journey to Jerusalem, expecting to find him there. Now, somewhere along the line, the star disappeared, right? And so these wise men are going, they know they're going to Israel, and where would a king be born? Jerusalem's the capital city, right? So they went to Jerusalem. And who did they find in Jerusalem? It says in verse 3, with Herod the king. Oh. He's the one that's sitting on the throne. I was reading about him again. And he was half Edomite and half Israelite, right? So he wasn't really a pure Jewish person that should have had access to the throne. But the Romans appointed him as the king over Judea. And this was the first of a whole series of Herods. Herod the Great. And he was troubled and upset when he heard about a new king. What do you think? Competition, right? What am I going to do with this new king? He's coming on the scene. And, you know, that's kind of strange because the poor man, yeah, he was wicked and sinful and all that, I know. But when Jesus and his family went to Egypt, it wasn't but a few months later that this man died. You know, we never think about that, do we? Huh? This person who thought he was going to preserve his kingdom, you know, he died in a few months anyway. What difference did it make about who's going to be king? Because he is off the scene. But this was a very wicked man, and one who didn't hesitate to eliminate other people. He even killed some of his sons, his wife, anyone that posed a problem to him as the king, anyone who would take his place. He just eliminated them. And so he had no trouble thinking about that with this new king that was coming. And he was rather paranoid, cruel, and all of the rest. He wouldn't stop at anything to maintain his power. And yet, as I said, he didn't have very much longer to even live. You know, why do people do that? Yeah, think about that. Huh? They think they're going to live forever here on earth, but they're not going to. So anyway, we find here Herod the Great, the wicked king. And so when the wise men come, he says, hey, I better have a talk with these guys, you know. Now, like I say, I don't know how many of them there were, but they must have caused quite an uproar when they came to Jerusalem. All the camels and the entourage that came. The Herod heard about it, and he invited them into the palace to have a talk. And so they came. And he found out what was going on with them and that they were there to find the new king and worship him. And what do they mean to worship? I don't know. I don't know how much these people actually understood. But we know the Lord Jesus, don't we? And what should be our attitude toward him? It's to worship and adore and praise and thank and give him all the glory because of who he is and because of what he's done. You know, he has come to save us from our sins, to give us eternal life. And how wonderful it is to know him. And we find here, excuse me, Herod had a different attitude towards him. He pretended to desire to worship him. You see that? In this, and he asked the wise men, he says, when did you first see the star? So he's trying to figure out how old this child is. And they apparently must have told him it was somewhere near 2 years because he came up with that figure eventually when he killed all the children in the area. And I was reading in Dr. McGee's book, he posed something about this, you know, because it says about the, I think it's in verse 16, verse 18, it says, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. When Herod had all the children killed, he must have chosen a certain area. There's Jerusalem in the middle, Bethlehem, a ways down to the south, I think 6 miles, and Ramah is to the north. So apparently he drew a circle, I guess, and decided to kill all the children in that area. And that's why this prophecy from the book of Jeremiah speaks about the women, Rachel and other women, weeping for their children in Ramah, which is north of Jerusalem. I thought that was kind of interesting to see that he killed all of those in that whole area. This man would stop at nothing to protect his kingdom. And so he asked the scribes and the chief priests, it says, where is the Christ to be born? Now Herod had enough understanding of the scriptures to know that the Messiah was coming, the Savior, right? And he was going to be the king. And so here it says Christ, that's the translation of Messiah, so that we can understand it. And he demanded where he's going to be born, and they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. For once again, we find this prophet, Micah this time, that mentioned this prophecy, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah. There was more than one Bethlehem. So he's pointing out, it's in the one in Judah. Art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, a leader, a ruler, that shall rule my people Israel. So they figured out that it was in Bethlehem that the baby was going to be born, that Jesus the Christ would be coming into the world. And notice, these scribes and chief priests, these were the leaders of the of Israel, especially in the matters of religion, right? It was a very religious nation, and these people were the ones who studied that continually and knew what was happening. And they said, oh yes, Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem. So, but how many of these men went to Bethlehem to see, to find Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, the one that they had been waiting for all these years. None of them went. They sent the wise men. They sent them. Herod says, go and search diligently, find the Christ, and come back and tell me that I might come and worship him also. Boy, isn't that pious? What do you think? Huh? And yet, of course, he had other intentions, as I said, to destroy Christ and protect his kingdom. And we have here the wicked king. And then we find the wise men go on to Bethlehem. And well, lo and behold, as they draw near to the city, what happens? The star. That wonderful star that they had seen in the east is there again to guide them. And it says that it led them to the place where Jesus was, the house where he was living. So he's no longer in the manger. He's now in a home, and but they stayed there for some time. You know, it would be an interesting study sometimes just to think about this. Because you read through the account in Matthew and in Luke, you have to think, how did this really happen? You know? And anyway, I can't get into that this morning. But here we find they come, and they come in, and it says in verse 11, when they will come into the house, they saw the young child, not a baby, young child, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They worshipped him. They didn't worship Mary or Joseph. They didn't say anything about that. They worshipped Jesus. And they opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold, as we often say, is the medal of kings. This was the most precious medal that they had at that time, gold. And so they could offer that as a worthy gift. Frankincense, he's the priest. The frankincense was offered on the altar to worship God, and myrrh. As far as I've been able to find out, myrrh was associated with death. They used it to embalm with. And why they would give myrrh to a baby or a small child, I don't know. But we find here the symbolism is, speaking of his death, even at this early stage, there was a connotation here of death. He's going to die. And then we find that, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, I've noticed in the Christmas story and all of this, dreams seem to have a great deal to do with this. As I said before, God spoke to the Magi with the star because that was their field. And here we find others who seem to be susceptible to dreams. And here we find these men are receiving a dream. Joseph had a number of dreams that would lead him in protecting Jesus and his mother and all of this. And then they flee into Egypt. God directs them to go into Egypt and to be safe from the wicked king. And God gives the warnings here to a number of different people. You know, it's wonderful how God leads. Now today, as I said before, we are privileged to have the whole Word of God, right? We don't need to think about dreams and visions and all those kind of things. Although I think sometimes God still may use those things. And it says over in the book of Acts that in the last days, certain ones will be led in that way. But we are privileged as believers today to have the Word of God. And all we have to do is to read and study it and allow Him to guide us in that way. But the Lord is able to use whatever He chooses to give wisdom and understanding. So they returned home another way. And we find in Joseph, as I said, was getting guidance through these visions and dreams. And God protected them and kept them along the way. And it's wonderful to know that God is active, right? He's active. He's active in this situation, and He's active in our lives today. And we can trust Him. We can put our faith and confidence in Him, knowing that He will help us. You know, there's certainly an element of mystery in this beautiful story that we see here before us. There are a number of questions we can't answer. But we do see that the wise men acted on the knowledge that they had, and they followed the light that God gave to them. By faith, they committed themselves to find Christ and to worship Him with the best gifts that they had to offer. They listened to the voice of God rather than the wicked king and returned home filled with joy and satisfaction. Mission accomplished. And we would do well, I think, to follow their example in those things, at least, and to put all of our faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Himself. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word to our hearts this morning and pray that You will continue to guide and help us in any way You see fit, and especially as we read Your word and study it together, that we might know how to follow and what to say and do. May Your holy will be done. Bless now as we have the communion service. We pray that each one of us will receive something that will be helpful to us in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.